see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with David James. Hello, everybody. I was out of town for a couple of days, and as you could hear from my midweek news report, it was very noisy. My apologies, I did the best I could. I was able to go out and work for a couple of days to bring in a little bit of money. And I'm thankful for that. That's all I can say. So I'm trying to catch up with all of you too. There's, you know, people, I'm trying to answer everybody's emails. And I just want to say that I hope that you all enjoy your times with your families at this time of the year. I don't celebrate Christmas and I don't encourage the celebration of Christmas, but I do encourage the celebration of family time. So that's the way I'll put it. And may yours be the best ever. I've finally listened to the 12-part series on the Apostle Paul. And I've weighed a few things. And of course, I was on this trail ahead of time, but this helped me think out a lot of different things. For instance, Pope Gregory VI, there were three Jewish popes at that time. Pope Gregory VI was one. This shows me that even the early Catholic Church, which is a Babylonian church, has been penetrated long before now. This is nothing new to have a Jewish pope, not even close. And the way that Findlay puts it is that if it wasn't for this Jewish pope, now there were three at that time, the Catholic Church would have gone away. So the Jews actually saved the church. How do you like those apples? Get it? See, this is nothing new. And I must say to you that the more I look into the Paul thing, the more evident it is that, in my estimation, you know how we were told about the letter to George Washington? And I had told you about this several times. And he was told that the churches within 200 years would be Judaized. And so on and so forth. Well, isn't it interesting that really the churches have been Judaized for a very long time. Ever since the Bible has come out, I believe that the Judeo-Christian mix was there in the form of the Apostle Paul's doctrines. His gospel is not the same as Christ's gospel. I must agree. I will explain this with the when I post the shows and so on and so forth. Sorry that it's a little... I'm doing so many things right now, accomplishing so many things. As soon as I got back, I began to work, and I'm at it, and I'm not trying to ignore anybody. I'm just trying to push. I'm somebody that pushes through things. And that's how I get things done. So the more I look at this, the more I realize that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is responsible for bringing in universality into the newer part of the Testament. Paul is a universalist. He, to the Jew first, and the Gentile second, and the, you know what I mean? There's no doubt. You know, that's been explained that it's to the Judean first, but that's not how that works in that particular situation. The Apostle Paul is actually saying that this is all to the Jew first and the non-Jew secondly. And you may not agree, you may get upset. I don't want you to get upset with me. I'm telling you something that I believe that how we got in the position we're in today is because of the Apostle Paul's teachings. Because he keeps on talking about how the law, it's not the law, it's faith by grace, grace by faith. And these people today, all this doctrine, whereas, you know, you're not going to be affected. Let me just give it to you this way. The reason why the law is not put away is because the test has not been put away. And the test will not be put away until heaven and earth pass away. If you think for a moment that you're going to be treated different than all the Christians throughout the past, the real Christians, I mean, you're just being silly. You're listening to Jewish fables. If you think that you're going to be raptured out and you're not going to be harmed or anything like that, that's not why we're here. We're here to be tested, period. And the law is all part of test. Sin is all part of the test. And so the law will not be put away, has not been put away. All that has been put away is the sacrificial rites, where you would have to sacrifice a pigeon or three pigeons or a goat or something for your sins, because without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption of sins. Therefore, his blood was shed, and that was the atonement for our sins. But that doesn't mean that you're free from obeying the law. Anybody that believes such a thing is totally deceived. And this is the kind of stuff that the Apostle Paul put forth. I've looked at some of the scriptures where Paul claims he's a co-redeemer with Christ. He also says in Galatians 4 that he was received as Christ. I'll explain all these things later. I must tell you that I do believe he's a universalist. And Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, was exclusive. It wasn't universal whatsoever. And therefore, It's just that you never realize these things until you really look at things. And it takes time for you to understand them. Do your own research into what the gospel Paul is teaching. It's not the gospel that Jesus taught. And I know that that sounds strange to you, and I know you might be angry and all these kinds of things, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. Paul's gospel is inclusive of everybody. Jesus' gospel was very exclusive. It was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When you hear and weigh this evidence, you can make your own decision. But things like these popes being Jewish is not a new thing. And I wasn't aware of some of this stuff. I also wasn't aware of what happened after the first century AD. You will find all these things out and we will look into them together and you're going to be surprised. You see, when I was saying about Cornwallis sending the letter to George Washington, I have to wonder if it was some kind of a deception in the sense of the church already was Judaized by the Apostle Paul. To the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. I mean, it's not funny. It's just crazy. This is insane. But you see, this is what happens when Jews get involved. I've always defended Paul and said, well, if you were a Roman citizen, you couldn't be a Jew. Another fellow I had told you said, well, you could buy citizenship, and I believe that's true, very true, especially in Rome was as corrupt as it was. And you'll have to find out about Tarsus yourself. But you'll be surprised to find out the things you're going to find out. I must tell you something, that there are people that love the truth until it hits them. There are truth lovers all over the world, but when you tell the truth to somebody about themselves, they get upset. These lovers of truth become angry. Truth is a hard thing to digest. And I told you that sometime you'll come across truths about yourself and you won't like them. But it's the teller of the truth that always, you know, sometimes you wonder, you should just keep your mouth shut about things and just don't say anything at all. But I think things are meant to be the way they are meant to be. So let's continue in this Maurice Pinet book here. We're on page 189, and the first three words say, in this connection. In this connection, a very interesting reference is made by the renowned Jewish historian to the assertion of a Jewish chronicler, V.I.Z., that to the presence of crypto-Judaism is to be attributed the fact that the English so easily accepted the Reformation, as well as their preference for biblical names. It was thus a false conversion of the Jews to Christianity that allowed the fifth column, quote unquote, to arise within the Church of England and made easier its severance from Rome. It's also evident that these false conversions of Jews in England, far from obtaining for the Church the expected salvation of souls, brought it instead to the loss of millions of souls. When the descendants of these false proselytes promoted the Anglican schism. Now, let me stop. You see that the Anglican Church and the Bishop, Archbishop of Canterbury is linked up with the Pope and Freemasonry as well. The Archbishop of Canterbury is a Freemason. Surprised? And they're both accused of doing the Rite of the Ninth Circle, by the way. But you see, all this trying to do what Jesus said not to do, we're supposed to be going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and people are going to Negroes, they're trying to go to Jews to save them and all these things. And what has it done? What did he say right here? Instead of saving these small amount of people that you're trying to save, it killed millions of your own souls. You see, this is dangerous stuff you're playing with when you disobey Christ and you do not go by the gospel that how Christ preached it. And this is the problem with Paul. And I believe that's why Paul is so popular in Judeo-Christianity, in the Jewish version of Christianity, and in the pagan Christianity of the Catholic Church. Pauline doctrine is prime in these arenas, and no wonder it is. I think you need to, when you learn, you have to take an objective look. Am I trying to poison you against Paul or the Bible? I'm not trying to poison you against anything. I'm trying to bring you to the realization of what possibly could be and I think is. It's not a good position to be in because, of course, you'll blame me for it and get mad at me for it. But see, I didn't do anything. I'm just looking at this objectively and learning and saying, I have noticed some things, and we will take notice of these. We will delve in deeply so that you'll start to say, oh, I see what you're talking about. Remember I said that Paul, I believe it was 1 Corinthians, I'll find the scripture. He said he wanted you to be followers of him. He told the people of Corinth that he wanted them to be followers of him. Now, I won't say red flag should be going up there, but let's say alarm bell should be ringing. There's much more than that, folks. This isn't something, you know, built on one or two scriptures. It's very interesting. And if you're the learning type of individual, you'll want to know what the story is with the Apostle Paul. Why did his story change? Why did he talk about lying and say that the ends justified the means? He actually said he lied. You will see all these things. Why you haven't seen them already, I don't know why. I don't particularly read a lot of Paul, but I've read it many, many times in the past. And I will tell you that I'll certainly be reading it soon. So the book goes on. There are still other very outstanding cases of false conversions of Jews to Christianity, among them that of Neophiti in the south of Italy, as recorded by Cecil Roth, who were persecuted by the Inquisition and of whom many were burned at the stake in Rome. It's important to mention the fact that the Inquisition, which functioned in Rome, was, of course, the holy Papal Inquisition, whose serviceable activity was successful in the Middle Ages in holding up the progress of the apocalyptic beast of the Antichrist for 300 years. Or so you say. I believe you're one of the heads of the beast. 5. That the phenomenon of crypto-Judaism was not merely confined to the Christian world, one still finds in different parts of the Muslim man world communities of crypto Jews, as Cecil Roth observes, who records several examples of Jewish communities in which the Hebrews, who outwardly were Muslimin, are in secret still Jews. This means that the Jews have also introduced a fifth column into the bosom of the Islamic religion. This fact perhaps explains the many divisions and the uproar which has occurred in the world of Muhammad. Well, of course it would mean that. They do nothing but divide. So what I'm saying is, the Apostle Paul, as far as I'm understanding, Judaized and universalized the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you ever think that you would hear such a thing and say, my goodness, could this be true? Well, how did Christianity get into the place it's at now? Well, one thing, we were praying to Lord and, things like that, right? But another thing is, this Apostle Paul thing, it's very, very interesting when you begin to realize what I'm starting to realize now. I would have never thunk it, as they say. I mean, who would have thought this would be? Who would have thought that this could be possible? That you could have somebody that made themselves an apostle. They saw a light. You get it? Who is the light bringer? Do you not think that the devil could say, Saul, why do you persecute me? The devil coming as an angel of light? Is that not possible? You would hope it would not be possible, but hope doesn't mean it didn't happen. We'll find out in the coming year, I believe. Chapter 3, The Fifth Column in Action. The renowned Jewish writer Cecil Roth explains, as we have already seen earlier, that crypto-Judaism, i.e. the conduct of Jews who conceal their identity as such by covering themselves with the mask of other religions and or nationalities, is as old as Judaism itself. I hope you just heard that. This infiltration of the Jews into the innermost heart of religions and nationalities, whilst still preserving their former religion, which isn't a religion at all, and their organizations in secret, has really formed Jewish fifth columns in the bosom of other peoples and the different religions. For if the Jew has gained entrance into the citadel of his enemies, he is active there, follows orders and carries on an activity which is planned in the Jewish secret organizations. This aims at controlling the people from within, whose conquest was resolved upon, as well as the control of its religious institutions, and to attempt to attain the decomposition of the same. So, we've seen that Calvin was a Jew, didn't we? And we've seen many people that were controlled by the Jews in the Jehovah Witnesses and so on and so forth, correct? They were in these religions. Joseph Smith with his talisman and all these different things, and the Mormon religion. You know, all the Mormons claimed that they were Jews originally, by the way. Not Israelites, they claimed they were Jews. And so they got themselves ensconced in the religions of the world, like Catholicism as well, which is right up their alley because it's paganism. And have they rotted Christianity out from within? Let me ask you that question, seriously. And you know the answer. I already know the answer. I ask because I want to know, do you agree or not? Have they rotted our governments from within? Have they rotted our minds from within? Have they rotted our children's minds from within? Have they rotted out all the religions of the world from within? Remember, how about the Armenians, when I had told you that story? They got in the religious part of that government in Armenia, and they told the people they were the Young Turks. They were Jews. They did it from within. They ensconced themselves in Freemasonry, the satanic religion. Of course they belong there. They started the church, the Church of Satan was started by a Jew, Anton LaVey. He's a Jew. The ideologies were all created by Jews like Karl Marx. The psychiatry created by Sigmund Freud, who says that every one of us really have a secret desire to have sex with our own mothers. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't have any. But of course, I understand that the Jew would want to do that because they did do that when they were children. And society accepts all these sick Jews. They're sick spiritually. They're sick mentally. They're sick physically. They're just plain sick. And they are a sickness on the world. Because if you ascribe to their nonsense, you become sick. So let's continue here. It is evident that as soon as they gain control of power of a religious confession from within, that they have then always used the same to favor their plans of world domination. In doing so, they above all use their religious influence to destroy the counter defense of that threatened people, or at least to weaken it. It is necessary that we mark well these three chief goals of the fifth column, quote unquote. Since for two centuries, they have represented their essential activity, whether they present themselves in the bosom of the Holy Church or in other non-Jewish religions. This explains how the work of the crypto-Jews as members of the fifth column have been all the more effective. The greater the influence it acquired in the religion in which it had concealed itself, therefore, one of the most important activities of the crypto-Jews has been that of smuggling themselves into the ranks of the clergy itself in order to ascend to the ecclesiastical hierarchy of the Christian church, or of a non-Jew, they're using the word Gentile, of a non-Jew religion which they control, reform, or wish to destroy. Well, they have Judaized all the religions, which means that they've brought their father in as the god of the religion. Christianity has been Judaized, just like all the rest of them. Paganized, Judaized, it's the same thing. And the Apostle Paul, I really do believe, is responsible for today's Judaized Christianity, ultimately. I think they knew that a long time ago, which makes it funny that Cornwallis would say that that would have happened. Well, it already had happened. Funny, it's the same modus operandi today. They say, well, we're going to start chemtrailing the sky. They've been chemtrailing the sky for, I believe, over 20 years. They just said, oh, we're going to start chemtrail in the sky. It's the same thing, you know what I mean? oh, we're going to Judaize Christianity in 200 years. It's already been done. Because that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ, when he taught in parables so that they would not understand. He didn't say, oh, we want to bring the Jews into this. We want them to be saved. We want them to... You must understand that when he let Cain walk away, I've explained this already, it was deliberately done so that in the future, Cain's relatives would put Christ to death. It had to be. Peter said at one point that he wouldn't allow this to happen, and Yeshua said, get thee behind me, Satan. You see, because it was meant to happen, it had to happen. He didn't come down here to be king. He could do that anytime he wanted to, but that wasn't the purpose. The test is being conducted. And believe me, part of the test is you being guided by the Holy Spirit, you and I being guided by the Holy Spirit, and not being tricked. And if the Apostle Paul and his gospel and everything is a trick, then it was he let it be put there so that you could understand it, you could see it, and you could free yourself from it. See, everything that all these lies and liars of the world confirm that Christ is right. When they do the things they do and they say, I'm a co-redeemer with Jesus Christ, is that not what they say about Mary? Isn't she co-redemptress with Jesus Christ? Isn't the Pope Jesus Christ on earth? And when the Galatians received the Apostle Paul as Christ, what would you do? Let me just ask you that. What did the angel do when John bowed down to the angel? The angel said, no, don't do that. Stand up. I'm a servant of the Father just as you are. The Apostle Paul allowed the Galatians to receive him as Christ. Do you understand what I'm telling you? If I were going to see the Galatians and they bowed down to me or said, we receive you as Christ, I would say, no, I'm not Christ. Don't bow down to me. I'm just a servant, just like you. See, there's something wrong, ladies and gentlemen. There's something wrong, and it's been there in front of our faces for a long time. Does that mean the Bible's no good? Of course not. It just means that these Jews have been at play for a long time before you were born. As a matter of fact, they didn't even let the scriptures out of the Catholic Church for a very long time, as you well know. So, let's continue. I'll read it from here again. This explains how the work of the crypto-Jews as members of the fifth column, quote-unquote, has been all the more effective. The greater the influence it acquired in a religion in which it concealed itself, therefore one of the most important activities of the crypto-Jews has been that of smuggling themselves into the rank of the clergy itself in order to ascend to the ecclesiastical hierarchy of the Christian church or of a non-Christian religion which they control or reform or wish to destroy. An activity of primary importance also consists for them in creating worldly saints who in this realm can control the masses of the faithful with a definite political goal which is useful for the synagogue of Satan, quote unquote. In the plan of playing along with and of mutual aid with the religious personages who belong to the fifth column, do you remember that, let me stop there, and who work for the same purpose, let me just finish that, the religious leaders always receive a valuable and frequently decisive aid in the face of spiritual authority with which it was successful for these religious crypto-Jewish personages to first of all provide themselves. Now, do you remember that Bacchus was made a saint? Do you remember Bertrand Comparé did that teaching? The Catholic Church made Bacchus, the god, a disgusting, filthy, so-called god, a saint. Look into Bacchus, and you'll see that he's about as far from sainthood as you could be. In this manner, the priests and church dignitaries, with aid of the political and religious leaders, can disintegrate the real defenders of religion and of the threatened peoples by their weakening or even destroying the defense of both, and promote the victory of Jewish imperialism in its revolutionary undertaking. You see, remember when I did the fireside chat and I told you that all these things are Jewish revolutions? Well, for them to gain control of a religion is a Jewish revolution. For them to start the summer of love is just Jewish revolution. For them to democratize Hong Kong, it's a Jewish revolution. For them to impeach a president or try to invest money and take down any politician that they don't like is a Jewish revolution. You see, they've got the money, they've got the time, and they have many revolutions going on. What's going on in France today is a revolution. What's going on in Portugal and Spain is another Jewish revolution. What's happening in America and in England is a Jewish revolution. What's happening in Germany with the destruction of the German people and all the different things in Poland and everywhere else, these are all Jewish revolutions. Rock and roll, the time of sex and drugs and rock and roll, it's all feelings, isn't it? Sex is a feeling for most part. Rock and roll is a feeling and drugs are a feeling, right? Remember I told you that we're all manipulated through our feelings? Well, sex and drugs and rock and roll are all feelings, aren't they? Music. Interesting, isn't it? So it continues. It is important to indelibly imprint this truth, for in these few lines is summarized the secret of success of the imperialistic and revolutionary Jewish policy for some centuries. The defenders of religion or their threatened country must therefore bear in mind that the danger comes not only from the so-called left or from revolutionary Jewish groups, but from the bosom of religion itself or from the circles directed to the right. I hope you're listening. Remember I told you a while ago, don't go to the left, don't go to the right. Stay on the road that leads to eternal life, the narrow road. See? So he's saying right here, but comes from this revolutionary thing, comes from the left, but not only from the left or revolutionary Jewish groups, but from the bosom of religion itself or from the circles directed to the right, from nationalists to patriots, always according to how the case lies. For it is a thousand-year-old policy of the Jews to infiltrate secretly into particularly these sectors and religious institutions in order by means of slanderous intrigue, which is well organized, to eliminate the true defenders of the country and of religion. Above all, and particularly those who, because they know the Jewish danger, might have the possibility of saving the situation. With these methods, they eliminate the latter and replace them with false apostles, who cause the failure of the defense of religion or of the country, and make possible the triumph of the enemies of mankind, as St. Paul so strikingly called the Jews. In all this great secret of the Jewish triumphs, especially in the last 500 years, has taken root. So what they do is they demonize the right, but who are the neo-Nazis? They're often Jews. Most of the time they're Jews. I don't see any white neo-Nazis. I think it's bullcrap. So they're involved in the right. Remember I told you about the Oath Keepers? That seems like it's a right-wing group, right? But an Oath Keeper wouldn't be a Christian because we were told not to keep any oaths, right? We weren't told not to make any oaths or take any oaths, correct? Isn't that interesting? So he continues here, it is necessary that all peoples and their religious institutions seize upon suitable defense measures against this internal enemy, whose driving force is formed by the Jewish fifth column, which has infiltrated into the Christian clergy and into the remaining non-Jewish religions. I don't know if they're trying to mean that the remaining Gentile, they use the word religions, means Protestantism or whatever. If Cecil Roth, the Flavius Josephus of our days, assures us that almost the entirety of all conversions of Jews to Christianity were pretended, we can ask ourselves if it is possible to believe that the said Jesus Christ, he says our Lord, who attempted to convert them, could be deceived. But Jesus didn't attempt to convert them. You see? The answer has to be negative, for no one can cheat God. In addition, the facts prove that Jesus placed a greater trust in the conversion of the Samaritans. Huh? He told us not to go to the Samaritans. And then it says, of the Galileans and the remaining inhabitants of Palestine than that of the Jews, properly speaking, whom the others despised because they had a low opinion of them, although they likewise observed the law of Moses. No, he didn't tell us to go to the Samaritans. Right, the opposite. See, the Catholic religion would love the Apostle Paul because the Apostle Paul is a universalist. And, of course, they're universalists, too. That's what Catholic means. So he continues, in fact, Jesus did not trust in the honesty of Jewish conversions, for he knew them better than anyone else, as the following passage of the Gospel according to St. John proves. Chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name, when they saw the miracles that he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew them all. Jesus himself despised the Jews because he was a Galilean. Unfortunately, the Samaritans, Galileans, and other inhabitants of Palestine were ruined by the assimilation into modern Jewry, with the exception of those who had already previously been converted to the faith of our divine Redeemer. This rule of distrusting the conversions of the Jews was also heeded by the apostles, and later by the various hierarchies of the Catholic Church. If precautionary measures were not always enforced to clearly prove the honesty of the conversions, the results were disastrous for Christianity, for these conversions served only to increase the destructive crypto-Jewish fifth element which had infiltrated into Christian society. Again, we should know that Jesus did not try to convert these people. Because, you see, they're learning here that when you try to convert them, it just kills a lot of your own people. Killing yourself to live, you see. Trying to save people, trying to cast your pearls before the Murano swine Jews, will just cause them to turn and rend you. And to tromp all over you. And why we don't learn these things from history is beyond me. it's amazing because we see that it's a waste of time, right? So here you are today and you say to yourself, well, should I try to tell this Jew the truth about the gospel? Maybe he could be saved. Well, the devil can't be saved. And the demons cannot work out their salvation like the Jehovah Witnesses were told they could. Rutherford is the one that brought that out, you see. And so you have to realize that you see that it's just like trying to convert these Negroes. You see what happens. You end up in a pot of soup. You leave them after and they turn, you know, I just did a thing where this supposed church of Negroes, the supposed pastor, was telling the people of the church to sell their blood and give him the money. You understand? See, you're wasting your time because this information is not for these people. It never has been and it never will be for these people. And it's not for the Jews. And the reason why he didn't try to win the Jews is because he knew what the outcome of it would be. Don't you see the wisdom in the Father? Don't you see that he knows what he's doing? Would you trust the Apostle Paul's gospel over the Father's gospel in Jesus Christ? Are you aware that they're two different things? Why is the Apostle Paul preaching a different gospel than Jesus Christ? Can you answer that question? Because it just doesn't add up. It's like saying, oh, Jesus didn't know what he was talking about, and mankind has rights. You know, God doesn't understand mankind. We have rights, and we're declaring these human rights to this God who just doesn't, he's not up to today's standards. He doesn't understand the human race. He's never been here in a human body. Oh, he hasn't? Believe me, he understands it more than you'll ever know. And he has been in a human body. And his gospel is not the same as the Apostle Paul's gospel, period. I can guarantee you that's true. I will go as far to say that at this point. I've got much more study on the subject to do, though. I don't want to be full of shame and folly. I want to make sure that I heareth the matter before I answereth the whole thing. These are the conclusions I'm coming to, and it sure does make sense. It really does. So it continues here. Another passage of the gospel contained in chapter 8, verses 31 through 59 shows us how various Jews who, according to verse 31, had believed in Jesus, afterward attempted to contradict his sermons and even kill him. You see, his pearls were cast before them, and then they wanted to turn on him and rend him. You understand? His sermons, so they had afterwards attempted to contradict his sermons and even kill him, as Christ himself confirms this in verse 37 and 40. He is first to conduct them with a verbal dispute for the defense of his teaching, and afterwards to conceal himself so that they did not stone him, because that wasn't the appointed time, see? For his hour was not yet come. Right, exactly. The Gospel of St. John shows us here something further of the classical tactics of the Jews falsely converted to Christianity and their descendants, misrepresentation of belief in Christ in order to afterwards attempt to destroy his church, exactly as they then attempted to kill Jesus himself, you see? Makes sense, doesn't it? In the Apocalypse appears yet another very revealing passage in this connection. Chapter 2, verse 1, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Before I go on any further, right now we are trying the Apostle Paul. So even in the time of Jesus and John and everything else, there were false apostles in that time. Therefore, you could say, well, could the just because the Apostle Paul's letters are have been put into the newer part of the Testament does not mean he's not a false apostle. Can you see the possibility there, what I'm saying to you? Listen again. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And, listen, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars." See, they say they are apostles. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Jesus Christ didn't say, by the way, disciples, we have a new apostle here. His name is Paul, and I'm sending him to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. You understand? This is a clear allusion to the necessity of examining the honesty of those who give themselves out to be apostles. For from these examinations results that many are false and lying. And the Apostle Paul actually lied and said he lied right in the scriptures. And he changed his testimony about what happened on the road to Damascus two different times. That's lying, folks. The Holy Scriptures proves to us that Christ and his disciples not only knew the problem of false new converts and of fake apostles, the bishops are regarded as successors of the apostles, but that they expressly warned us to be cautious of them. If Christ and the apostles had wished to avoid this topic out of fear of scandal, and so many cowards now wish to do, they would not also have remarked on the danger in such express form, and would have not referred to so clearly to such dreadful deeds as the betrayal of Christ through Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples. Even more, if Christ had not held as advisable the public exposing of these false apostles, who are so richly represented in the clergy of the 20th century, it would have been possible for him as God to avoid that the instigator of the greatest betrayal might be one of the 12 apostles. If he did this and publicly exposed him so that the greatest betrayal is remarked in the Gospels for the knowledge of all until the end of the world, then a quite special reason existed for this. This fact shows to us that Christ, as well as the apostles, regarded it as the lesser evil to unmask the traitors at the right time, in order to prevent them from causing the church further deadly harm, and that it's worse to cover them out of fear of a scandal by allowing them to continue to destroy the church and to conquer the peoples who have placed their faith and their trust in this church. This explains the reason why the church, every time an heretical or estranged bishop or cardinal or false pope appeared, regarded it as indispensable to unmask them publicly in order to prevent them dragging the faithful further into the misfortune. A priest who makes easier the triumph of communism in his country, with all its deadly danger for the church and for the rest of the clergy, must immediately be accused before the church And in fact, not only in, but in various ways in case one fails, so that with recognition of the danger, the means are removed from him for causing further harm. It is monstrous to have to think that the confidence placed by the nations in the clergy is utilized by Judases in order to lead the said peoples into the abyss. Well, as I've explained to you, the father loves his children so dearly that he made Judas, who was not, he was an Edomite, he was not an Israelite, he made him play the part of Judas. Remember, the devil entered into Judas. Remember that Judas carried the purse. Remember that Judas betrayed with a kiss, like the mafia kisses you on the cheek and it's the kiss of death, you understand? That's where it all comes from. So he was so merciful that he wouldn't even sacrifice one of his own children to play the part of Judas. So, it continues, if this had been done in time, the catastrophe of Cuba would have been prevented, and the church, the clergy, and the Cuban people would have not fallen into the bottomless abyss in which they find themselves at present. Well, you do know that Castro is Jewish, right? I know he died, but his brother is, I think his brother is, you know, in charge there. He's a Jew, by the way, Fidel Castro. For the destructive and traitorous work of many clergy in favor of Fidel Castro was the decisive factor for his victory. It influenced the major majority of clergy who were not conscious of deceit and with good faith encouraged a people involuntarily to suicide, to favor Fidel Castro, a people who had particularly placed its faith with these spiritual shepherds. We observe this circumstance with absolute clarity so that all may realize the gravity of the problem. In view of the fact that the clergy of the fifth column are attempting to drive more Catholic states such as Spain, Portugal, Paraguay, Guatemala, and other various ones towards communism. They are communism, yes. And that's where Catholicism is most successful, is in a communist country. Well, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the Rabbit Hole Radio Show, I always give a good piece of advice, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole.
Just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lies that they told erased. A man without a face.